In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Ooh, it's cold in Brussels. Smudge, it's cold everywhere, isn't it? I don't think there's any great difference between the temperature back at home and the Belgian capital, where I arrived late last night, jumping on a train, as I do with increasing frequency, to come to Brussels, because I flipping love the place. And by the way, from where I live in southeast London, it's almost exactly the same time to get to Manchester as it does to get to Brussels by train. And quite often, with a bit of luck, it's cheaper as well. And there's a little place that I'm staying just in Saint-Gilles, which is a 10-minute walk from the Gare du Midi, which is a brilliant part of Brussels, which is incredibly cheap and lovely and warm and cosy and interesting. And that's what Brussels is to me. It's a kind of, it's got a kind of quirky architecture, and it's got a quirky kind of vibe, but not in a kind of self-conscious way or anything. It's just a city, capital city, that just gets on with it, really. And, has got an identifiable flavour and characteristic all of its own. It's unmistakably Brussels. Avec le vent de l'Est, écoutez le tenir, le plat pays qui est le mien, avec des cathédrales pour unique montagne et de noirs clochers comme mâts de cocagne. And in my imagination, that is often bound up with the figure of the greatest. Well, the greatest musician ever to come from Brussels, Jacques Brel, the who I've spoken about, and you've heard quite. If you've been listening to this podcast for the last few years, you will have heard me every now and again. Every 6 months, I'll crank out a Jacques Brel song and plop it into the podcast. I'm going to weave, I think, quite a few into this podcast because I like it, and so you're going to have to listen as well. And I'm actually on my way to the Brel Foundation. I think I'm going to have a little look around that museum again. I was just sort of reading a little bit about Brel's final concert. At the absolute height of his fame and at the height of his powers, he decided he'd just had enough of performing. Even though he played huge gigs, you know, almost every night of the week, he was incredibly hardworking and busy. He decided that he just had enough, and he had. So he decided in 1967 that was it, and he did one last filmed performance, which was, it will always be remembered as his greatest performance, partly because it was the last time he played the Olympia venue in Paris, and that you can see that, you know, have a little search for it online, and it's amazing. It's got the definitive performance of Ne me quitte pas in it. But then I found this little detail that he still had sort of 6 months worth of touring contracts to fulfill that he couldn't just walk away from, so he carried on touring after that for another 6 months or so. And it was on May the 16th in 1967 that he performed his final ever live concert, and that was in Roubaix, of all places, 1967. So 1967 was the year in which, well, actually in May 1967, Eddie Merckx was competing in his first ever Grand Tour, the Giro d'Italia. He, in 1967... would become the world champion for the first time in the first of his three world championships. And in 1968, of course, he won Paris-Roubaix and, and in 1690 won his first Tour de France. So as Brel disappeared, stage left, and died very young, great Belgian national hero, hero of Brussels, Eddy Merckx stepped up, also from Brussels, and along with Jack Brel. Well, you'd have to say Merckx and Brel are the two greatest cultural icons in 20th century Belgian history, really. And I like how their timelines, their chronologies just touch around about that time in May 1967. If you don't know anything about Jacques Brel, you do know a lot more than you think you know about Jacques Brel, because even though he was stubbornly francophone, he sung one song with a bit of Flemish in, Marique, which I hope we'll hear a bit later in the pod, and which I've played before on the podcast. Other than that, he sung in French with this very strong Brussels accent that was at first lampooned by the Parisian muserati, if that's a word, and then they warmly embraced it because it was just different and earthy and guttural and angry, forceful. Anyway, what was I going to say? Yes, yeah, you do know Jacques Brel. You just don't know you know Jacques Brel, because his music, even during his lifetime, his performing lifetime, was covered and admired by English-speaking artists and German-speaking artists from across the world. And he stubbornly refused to sing in English, but he didn't mind collecting the royalties as many, many people covered his music.
Adieu les mille, je t'aimais bien. Adieu les mille, je t'aimais bien, tu sais, on a chanté les mêmes.
Le Moribond, the story of a dying man, was a hit in 1974 for the Canadian singer Barry Jacks.
On a chanté les mêmes chagrins. Adieu les mille, je vais mourir. C'est dur.
When all the birds are singing in the sky, now that the spring is in the air.
And then, of course, unforgettably, Westlife.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the hills that we climb were just seasons at a time.
Comme des fous, je veux qu'on rie, je veux qu'on danse, quand c'est qu'on mettra dans trop.
Then there's the port of Amsterdam.
Dans le port d'Amsterdam,
covered by, among other people, a very young David Bowie.
The dreams that he brings from a wide open sea. And in the port of Amsterdam, there's a sailor who sleeps while the riverbank weeps to the old willow tree.
But Brel's biggest hit of all, Ne me quitte pas, was covered variously by so many people.
Ne me quitte pas, il faut oublier tout. Peut s'oublier, qui s'enfuit déjà.
Including Shirley Bassey.
Take the sun away. All the birds that flew.
Frank Sinatra.
In the summer sky, when our love was new and our hearts were high.
And Marlene Dietrich.
Lieb nur dich allein. Bitte geh nicht fort. Bitte geh nicht fort. Bitte geh nicht fort. Bitte geh nicht fort.
Moi, je t'offrirai des perles de pluie venues de pays où il ne pleut pas. Je creuserai la terre jusqu'après ma mort pour couvrir ton corps d'or et de lumière. Je ferai un domaine où l'amour sera roi, où l'amour sera loi.
So there we go. There's a bit of Brel for you. It's about 3 o'clock, half past three in the afternoon now. Freezing cold. The sun will be down in about an hour, I'd have thought. Bright blue skies above me, though. And I've just spent all day to this point in the Royal Library in Brussels. The National Library, effectively, where I've obtained a day's reader's card, and I've been trawling through for another completely different research project. I've been trawling through some papery old Dutch language and French language Belgian newspapers on a story that is kind of taking some sort of shape that one day I might be able to publish in some shape or other. I don't think it'd be a book, far from it, but it might be a, I don't know, podcast maybe, or even a story. But we'll see. It's not ready yet. Anyway, I've absolutely loved my time in the beautiful surroundings of the library, and I'm wandering off now to I think I will go and have a little nosy in the Brel Foundation. And tomorrow morning, I have got a very early appointment with Thomas von den Spiegel, who's actually probably just listening to this as well, to listen to it back, and I've just sort of mangled the pronunciation of his accent, who is the boss of the Flanders Classics race organisers, who, amongst other things, organise the Ronde van Vlaanderen, the Tour of Flanders, and all the big Belgian one-day races. There's loads to talk to Thomas about. He's a person I've never met in person. I've spoken to him on the phone. I've commissioned him to do an essay a couple of years ago for the Road Book, which is brilliant, really interesting, about how he kept the Flanders Classics programme alive during the COVID pandemic. But there's loads to talk to him about the race that he is in charge. He has the kind of nationally important job of keeping the Tour of Flanders in rude health, which it still is. And then after that, I'm going to go just briefly before I get my Eurostar home. I'm going to go and tread in the footsteps once more of Theophile Beekman. I'm going to hopefully catch up with the poet laureate of cycling culture in Belgium, and a character who features in 1923 and who wrote a poem which he dedicated to me when I told him about Theophile Beekman. So going to be a little kind of Flandrian journey. Let's hear a bit of Marieke just to get us through this little junction in time and onto the next bit of the podcast. This is, as I say, the only time that Jacques Brel sung in Dutch and French. Obviously, he combines both languages in this song.
Aïe, Marieke, Marieke, je t'aimais tant entre les tours de Bruges et Gand. Aïe, Marieke, Marieke, il y a longtemps entre les tours de Bruges et Gand. Zonder liefde, warme liefde, waai de wind, de stomme wind. Zonder liefde, warme liefde, wind de zee, de grijze zee. Zonder liefde, warme liefde, leidt het licht, het donker licht.
Well, it's Wednesday morning now, and there's been a slight change of plans. Late last night I got a message from Thomas von den Spiegel saying that something more important than talking to Nevestre's fire had occurred, and he had to travel somewhere else away from Brussels and wouldn't be able to fit me in, which is very disappointing. And he offered to do a telephone interview, so thanks for that, Thomas, but it's kind of not the way we do things on Never Strays Far, so there'll be another opportunity to talk to Thomas in the years to come. So I'm still going to go to Ninov and catch up with Willy Verhegge, but I thought that on my way to Ninov, on this long looping train that's just pulling into platform 21 in Brussels Gare de Nivelles now, the S6 destination Dendelu, it goes through Gerardsbergen, and I've never actually got off and explored Gerardsbergen with its famous cobbled climb and the chapel at the top of the hill, such a feature of so many of the great Belgian one-day races. So I am going to go to Gerardsbergen and explore and bring the fruit of my exploration to your ears.
Marieke, Marieke, revienne le temps, revienne le temps de Bruges et Gand. Aïe, Marieke, Marieke, revienne le temps.
Oh, I love this train. I've forgotten how much I enjoy this journey that I took quite a few times when I was researching my book, because it cuts through all these kind of uber Flandrian places just to the west of Brussels. And on a day like today, they could hardly be more kind of archetypal Flanders as well, just leaving Edingen station. And gliding past these platforms, which have got clusters of just little snowy patches. It's grey and overcast, unlike the bright blue weather of yesterday. It's really quite dark, even though it's 10:30 in the morning now. And yeah, the red brick houses and the grey roofs and the bare trees. It's an industrial estate that just gone past with a kind of post-war, what looks like a sort of post-war factory block that's still doing something, producing something or other. And weirdly, on top of the flat roof, there appeared to be a kind of concrete statue of what looked like a Roman centurion looking down into the kind of concrete yard beneath him, full of old rusty bits of machinery, this Roman centurion. And he appeared to have an Alsatian, made out of concrete, straining at a leash, just to add to the kind of bleakness of the image. Heading, and it is still got to stop at Herne, Tollenbeek, Gammerages, Vianne, Mürbeke, Grammont, which is also Grammont, which is the French name for Gerardsberg, and so a few stops before I get there. So a short walk from Gerardsbergen's railway station, and I'm right in the centre of Gerardsbergen, such a familiar sight. I've been watching it in countless bike races, with the big church that you can see just 50 metres up the road at the start of the climb up to the Mur. And you cross over this big old bridge, where you can hear that car just going over now, which is it's one of those bridges that lifts and turns to allow traffic through along the canal. There's a little sign here, actually, it's saying welcome in three different languages, in French and in German and in English. Welcome to the Flemish Ardennes. You are in the Flemish Ardennes, it says here, where the landscape is ideal for walks, as there is so many differently surprising things to see. This is also the arena where cycling enthusiasts rise to the rank of genuine pedaling heroes. Okay, and where stops are made after the finishing line has been crossed. Whatever that means, at historical buildings, museums and traditions. That's one sentence. They are made to be relished and enjoyed for a long time to come. Right, I'm now going to walk up the Mur.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So after about 50 metres of quite steep, sort of 8%, something like that, you'll be familiar, you'll remember that the climb just opens out into this main square of Gerardsbergen. It's just up this little hill with a town hall, a beautiful Flemish town hall with its five turrets and its series of tiny little windows built into the very steeply pitched slate roof. Brick-built, beautiful thing, and a church whose name I don't know, actually. Big, imposing church, and those two buildings dominating this cobbled this cobbled square that the race passes through. So it flattens out just a little bit, and then I can see where the rest of the climb starts, and that's where I'm heading now, up to the famous chapel at the top of the climb, which I've never been. I've never actually been there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing whether or not I might even be able to get inside. Who knows? Just had a message as well from another... just passing the Bar Guidon to my left. It says beer, bikes, coffee. And it also says the official fan club of Remco Evenepoel. There you go. It's just in this main square. And yeah, just had a message from Alan Piper, the ex-tour rider, and of course the director sportif at UAE Team Emirates, who's based, I think, actually in Gerardsbergen. I think he lives here. And if memory serves me correctly, I think he might have opened a cafe here some time ago. I don't know whether that's still the case or whether it's just something I've imagined. Anyway, I dropped him a line because I knew that I was going to be stopping off here. And would he have time this morning at really late notice just to catch up? And a bit like Thomas van den Spiegel, it's another no-show for Never Strays Far, guys. But he's got a legitimate excuse. Sent me a very polite message back saying he's got all sorts of commitments to getting the kids out in the school run. And then he also said he's handing over the keys to the agent. So maybe I've arrived in the day that he sells his house and moves. Who knows? What a mystery. As you can probably tell, I'm climbing again now. And just trying to figure out... Oh, it's over to the left here. So the road leaves the square on another tight little ramp and then turns left where the gradient steadies out a little bit. But I can see the right-hand turn already ahead of me, which will take us up the final steep bit. Very steep bit, touching 17%, I think, to the chapel itself at the top. I have to say, it's a lovely little town. It really is. It's beautiful. I've just stopped a little bit further on, just because I'm looking at a big steel sculpture of a female bust. It's very tall, wearing a hat and looking out down the climb towards Gerardsbergen. And there's a little explanation as to what it is. It's a sculpture by that was erected in 2011 by a local sculptor from Gerardsbergen called Konrad Dienl. And it's a monument to Betty Galinsky. And Betty Galinsky was his old piano teacher, who was born in Kiev in 1904 and came to Belgium in 1922 to live in Ghent. And that's where she taught a young Konrad Dienl to play the piano. And Betty Galinsky was taken from Ghent to Auschwitz. She was murdered in the gas chambers. And so I'm hesitating because I want to get this right, and I'm translating from my understanding of Flemish. He based this sculpture on a photograph of Betty that he kept in his atelier hanging on the wall, and wanted everyone to remember his old piano teacher. Walking on, and there's another sign at the side of the road as I carry on this climb supposed to encourage all the people riding up it, although I haven't seen anyone on a bicycle today, to be honest. There's almost no one around. And it says, and again, forgive my pronunciation, it's probably a bit erroneous, Echte Flandriens rijden op kasseien. Something like that. Real Flandrians ride on cobblestones. Ha! Oh, gotta put my gloves back on. Hands are freezing. It's not ideal podcasting conditions, this. That's interesting. I've just passed another sculpture. I'm onto the really steep section, by the way, the final sort of couple of hundred metres of the climb. Abstract sculpture of about four or five different figures, like standing sentinel at the side of the road. And in front of the sculpture is a plaque with a poem in written in Dutch, which I won't begin to try and translate or even read out because I'll get it wrong. But it's clearly a homage to the supporters of road racing. And the poem is by Willy Verhegge, who is, of course, the very person I'm still hoping to meet in nearby Ninove, where, of course, dog, I think there's a fence keeping him in. Hello, alright, you're alright, mate. Yeah, it's just a bit bored and cold, isn't he? I'm just going to carry on here, if that's alright, yeah? Excellent. Yeah, hoping to catch up with Willy in a bit.
It's been a great start to 2024 so far. All my New Year's resolutions and lifestyle changes are going well. But one thing I haven't changed is my daily consumption of AG1. I first took AG1 when preparing for the Olympics way back in 2012, so I'm delighted that they now sponsor the pod. AG1 is a vitamin mineral probiotic drink that's designed to meet the foundations of all your vitamin and mineral needs. Of course, when at home, I always try to get my vitamin and mineral servings through whole foods like freshly prepared fruit and veg. But taking AG1 puts my mind at ease, knowing the foundations are covered. It also contains adaptogens to help buffer stress, plus the travel packs are a lifesaver for when I'm on the road, and good nutrition isn't always as easy to come by. Ultimately, AG1 kicks off my day right. I always feel better after taking AG1. I have more focus, more energy, and it tastes great too. That's why if anyone ever asks me if I could only take one supplement, what would it be? I will always answer AG1. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/neverstraysfar. Again, that's drinkag1.com/neverstraysfar. Check it out.
Well, inside the chapel, it is tiny. It's actually only built in 1906, the chapel, but built in a Baroque style. It's basically a circle around the altar and a high dome, little stained glass round windows inside. And all the walls, I'm on my own here, all the walls, pretty much up to the ceiling, are covered in these little marble plaques that later, as they get a bit more recent, the higher up you get, turn into metal plaques and ceramic plaques, but started off as marble plaques from the early part of the 20th century. They all pretty much, and there must be hundreds of them, say, have a similar message. And the message is Dank An, and then the initials, so thank you to, the initials OLV, which means Onze Lieve Frau, and that is our dear lady. So they are offering up their thanks for their prayers for healing to Mary, Onze Lieve Frau. And that's all. This peace and quiet is in such stark contrast on this Wednesday morning to the bedlam that will be going on outside on that famous turn and the cobbled track that leads up and past the chapel when the big races, when Omloop Het Nieuwsblad, for example, comes here, takes on the climb for the umpteenth time in the post-war history of the Flemish classics. So I'm really glad I've actually seen inside this place. And outside, just stepping outside, the view, looking back down the cobble climb, so I'm looking back down as it sweeps away right-handed in front of me. There's a big cross and a view that you don't really see on the television, that because this just stands as the gateway to the Flemish Ardennes, this hilly part of West Flanders. You can see, well, you could see, I think, a very long way indeed, were it not for the fact that a big grey cloud has rolled in and it's now starting to snow quite consistently, actually. And I'm the only person up here. Wow. Yeah, it's interesting the fact that the Tour of Flanders doesn't come here. It did in 2017 when the race started from Antwerp, but since they reconfigured it in to stop finishing in Merbeke, which is Ninove, essentially, and move the finish line to Oudenaarde in 2011, that was the last time. And 2012 onwards, it hasn't featured. And that's a bit of a shame. When it did feature in 2017, it was, I think there were still 7 more climbs to go until the finish line, so it wasn't the kind of decisive moment that it can be in other races. You know, it has featured in the Tour of Belgium, it's featured in the Binkbank Tour. I remember a few years ago, Mathieu van der Poel monstering his way up here to to win the race overall on the final day of that stage race. But it was only in the early 80s, in 81, that they added in the extra steep bit at the top that takes you past the chapel. Before that, it didn't quite go as far as that and used to dive back down again before and didn't go right over the top. And then the cobbles were in a terrible state and they were kind of reinstated, I think, and repaired in 2004. And there was a ceremony where the Home Secretary, the Home Office Minister from the Belgian government came and opened them. And one of the other dignitaries on that particular occasion was Guy Verhofstadt, who is a name you might remember from the whole Brexit shenanigans going back a few years. So it's a place of great national significance, really, and cycling needs these landmarks, doesn't it? These absolutely iconic, unrecognisable landmarks, incredibly important to the race. Pendu avec un ciel si gris qu'il faut lui pardonner avec le vent du nord qui vient s'écarteler avec le vent du nord. Écoutez-le craquer le plat pays qui est le mien avec de l'Italie. Well, this is a kind of crazy situation. I'm in Nineveh. I got in about 20 minutes ago by train and I walked up the kind of 10 or 15 minute walk up to the municipal cemetery where Theophile Beckmann, where his name is remembered. He wasn't actually buried here. And for those of you who haven't read 1923, I'm sure you've heard the name by now. He's the this Flemish rider from Nineveh with whom I develop a long and curious and lasting kind of relationship, I suppose, with his family as well, his surviving family. But Theo wasn't buried here, but when his wife Irene, who had a long life actually, when she died, she was buried here, and they added Theophile's name to her gravestone. But I arrive on the first day of winter in this area, it has started to snow, and it's been snowing heavily, as I've told you. And now the snow is thick, and it's lying on all the gravestones. And I did, when I visited this last, it was in the late spring and it was a hot day, and I kind of vaguely remember exactly where the gravestone is, but all of the graves now are covered in, and it was horizontal. It's just a horizontal gravestone and they're all covered in snow. And as a result, you can't read any of the names. So I'm walking around now and I don't think I'll be able to find it, which is both a little sad because I wanted to be able to just to drop by, so to speak. But also, if you've read the book, curiously fitting as well. No, I'm not going to be able to find it. So that's that. Another time, next time. Bien sûr, il y a les guerres d'Irlande et les peuplades sans musique. Bien sûr, tout ce manque de tendre. I'm going to head back to the station where I'd said I'd meet in half an hour Willie, but the snow's so... It's coming down so heavily, and he lives a few miles in a village in Pollare, a few miles outside Ninov. I'm not convinced it's a great idea, so I'm going to ring him, see if he's on his way already, because I'm a bit worried. He'll get stuck, we'll get stuck, and it's just not advisable.
Hello, Matt.
Willie, how are you?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
It's all right.
Are you okay? Because I'm a bit worried that it's not a good idea for you to get in the car and drive because of the snow.
Well, that's no problem.
Are you sure?
Are you on the train?
I got off. I'm just walking back to the station now, so I will see you there in half an hour if you think it's safe.
you are in Eindhoven now.
Yeah, I just went to the to see Theo's Beekman's grave, but I couldn't see it because everything was covered in snow.
So I'm
in Lindorf, but
I can come now and find you.
Okay, I'm just walking back from the grave, from the cemetery, so I will be back at the station in about 15 minutes.
Yes, all right, I'll be there.
See you soon, Willie. Thanks, bye.
Yes.
Okay, bye. Well, he's just a straightforward Flandrian, isn't he? Of course he is. Yes. Brilliant, what a top man. Also, crazy, but there we go.
Mais voir un ami pleurer. Bien sûr, il y a nos défaites. Et puis la mort.
Well, I've arrived. Willie picked me up from the station, and I was standing there with snow on my hat and snow on my bag and snow on my shoulders and snow on my arms because it's just amazing, this weather. But Willie, you very kindly drove me all the way to your wonderful house out mm-hmm. here in Polare. And last time I came here...
It was summer.
Do you remember?
Yes, I remember. Very good. Because you brought a cyclist into my home that I didn't know.
Mint tea is perfect. Thank you very much. I've just been.
And he was from Ninove, from the neighborhood.
I know.
A very strange but beautiful story.
Yeah.
And I have written a poem about him that you have met in your last book about cycling, I think.
Yeah.
Translated by you.
I translated it. Well, I with a little bit of help from artificial intelligence as well.
Yes.
But afterwards, we're going to read the poem, and you're going to read the Dutch, and I'll read the English, line by line.
All right.
Okay.
No problem.
But that was an amazing day, mm-hmm. I remember, Willie, because now I realise quite how important a character, a figure you are, not in Ninove, but in Belgium and in the cycling world in Belgium, which is so important. That's not a question. That's just a statement of fact. Mm-hmm. You are important, but at the time, I didn't know that, and I made contact with you because I was walking around the old cemetery in Merbeke
to find
Theo's
grave,
which I didn't find because it had been dug up, and and on my way out of the cemetery by the old church, I saw the statue. The sculpture of the Ronde van Vlaanderen.
Yes, with the poem of me, yes.
And it had the name, how do I say your second name? Verheger. Willy Verheger. And
De
so
La Haye, it's something like that, translated, yes. Verheger.
So I put into Google, I stood there and with my phone, I went, Willy Verheger. And within a minute, I had your telephone number.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
And then
it was a very beautiful story.
It was.
To meet you,
And you invited me straight round.
Yes, why not?
And within an hour, I was sitting drinking beer in your garden.
It was the first time that an English journalist came here to see me and talk about cycling.
It was such a little
fiesta for me,
Your relationship with the sport that I love and the sport that you love, road racing, when did it start and what does it mean to you?
Well, it started when I was a little boy because the eldest brother of my mother was a cyclist in the just after the war, I think, as a young man, but it was not a big talent, no. He didn't continue very long. And then in the late 50s, I was in the school of my village, Denderleeuw. And there was a younger brother of Sorgeloos. And Sorgeloos was a famous cyclist from the region here. He came from Denderhouten. And he was the right hand of Rick Van Looy, the emperor of Herentals.
Yeah.
Two times world champion. He won all the classics. He is the only one who won all the classics. Rick Van Looy. Yeah. He is still alive.
Yeah.
He got 90 a few weeks ago. Fantastic. And is in a very good condition.
Fantastic.
And so I was very near to the hotspot of Flanders in cycling in Flanders, because that younger brother of the right hand of Rick Van Looy studied the same thing as I did in a college in Denderleeuw. And I took very, very fast contact with him, and we became friends. But it's a little bit strange and sad that he died a few weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was not so old. He was a year older than me. He got 77, but he was sick during a few years. And I've lost one of my youth friends, the young Sorgeloos. His first name was Herman Sorgeloos, yes.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
He started you on this journey. He started you on this journey that has lasted for the rest of your life.
He was very proud that his bigger brother was such a good cyclist. And he cycled too. He had not the talent of his brother, not at all.
Yeah.
But he was, until he was 21 or 2, he was cycling by the amateurs, how do they call it?
The amateurs.
But it was not a big talent. But he did the Tour of Flanders, for example, for amateurs. But yeah, no big prizes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's how I came very near to the cycling life in Flanders and worldwide also, because Van Looy was a big name, yes.
Yeah. Mm. And now you live in this little village, Polare, near Ninove, near Merbeke, where until 2011,
yes,
the Ronde van Vlaanderen
and arrives, that, yes,
the finish,
yes,
line.
Yes.
And the race, you were telling me, the race itself, on sometimes, has come very close to your front door.
Yes, passed a few times near to my house in our street, and then they climbed. The last climb was the Polarberg, the Polar Mountain, a very small mountain, but it was very hard because he came after 250 or 60 kilometers from the Polarberg to the arrival in Merbeke. It was maybe 5-6 kilometers, and the two winners that I remember were Criquillon, Walloon.
Yep.
He died very young from not so far from here, the other side of the language border, here in De Zakeren, near Gerardsbergen, Gramont. Criquillon, he passed near my house. And the father of Van der Poel, of Mathieu, Adrie. He won the Tour de Flanders also here.
Passing
my house, yes. Yes.
Well, I told you, I went to the Kapelmuur in Gerardsbergen, and I couldn't believe that I saw three poems by Willy Ferreira on the...
Because of the snow, you did not discover the other poems, I think, because there are 6 or 7 poems of me, cycling poems on the muur. It starts on the wall of the city hall of Gerardsbergen. There is my most known poem of cycling, Runners Don't Die.
I've read that. Yes.
That's on the wall of the Capitol Hall. Yes, and then continuing to the top of the muur, you can read 6 or 7 other poems about cycling that I have written.
Do you think in your time much has changed? Do you think the spirit of Flandrian cycling is still the same as it was when you were a kid, when you were young, growing up?
Well, it changed a lot. What's the most... how can I tell it? What changed a lot is the manner they cycle, I think.
The way they race.
Yes. It's more with teams now.
Yeah.
everything is very good regulated,
controlled.
In the 50s, when I started to look at the races, and in the 60s on television, it were still the old times of cycling. With their clothes, the cycles also were not so modern as they are now.
Yeah.
It changed a lot. Yes, but people here are still interested at the same level. That was not changing. Cycling is one of the hot things of Flanders and of Belgium.
Yeah.
More in Flanders than in Walloon, because when as we have 10 young cyclists in Walloon, you have one or two.
Yeah.
It's a big difference, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And where you have 10, in the United Kingdom, we have 0.1.
No, it's a little bit the center of the world of Flanders is of cycling is Flanders, I think. Yes.
Yeah.
And still, we have good talent now for the moment. The last years, we don't have to complain.
Who do you like watching of the current generation? This new generation.
Now.
Yeah. Who do you like?
Of our cyclists, Van Aert and Evenepoel.
Yeah.
Those two, that are the two big champions of Flanders also in cycling. Evenepoel is a real Belgian. He's bilingual. He lives in Brussels.
He's like Eddie.
Eddie was of Merckx,
yes. Because Eddie was French and his first language was French and his second language was Dutch, right?
Yeah.
So similar.
Yeah. And he's not far from here, Evenepoel. He passes here beside my doors. But I did not talk with him. I didn't have the chance.
Yeah.
Yes. I hope to do it this year, maybe, when he's training here in Eindhoven. Yes.
Yeah. And Wout's my favorite, I think.
Yes. Ours too, my wife also, is a fan of Wout van Aert.
She's nodding.
Yeah, yeah.
She bought me mint tea. She's sitting there doing her knitting and agreeing that it's Wout.
For her daughter-in-law, she's doing it. Yeah. It's a very fine work. Yes.
I love it. It's calm.
What is it?
I like knitting.
It's very.
You are calm. It's a bit zen.
Yes. It is very. You're meditating.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. You're meditating.
I'm listening.
So we all agree, Wout van Aert.
Yes. Wout van Aert. Yes. Yeah. But it's a pity that he does too much for other riders. He works too much for not for himself.
Yeah.
I think yes, that's a problem from the past years. But his biggest problem is the young Van der Poel, Mathieu Van der Poel.
Yeah, he can't beat him. At the moment. He can't beat him.
No, he's a little bit stronger, Van der Poel. I have to admit it. I am admiring him as a very strong boy. If you look his legs, it's yes, and I think that it will be the same this year too, in 224, that Van der Poel will be stronger than Van Aert, yes.
In the one day races. But Van der Poel will not do the things at the Grand Tours, in the Giro d'Italia, the Tour de France.
But I think that Van Aert cannot win a big tour neither. No. I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he will try maybe now in the Giro.
Maybe, yeah.
But Pogacar is there.
Yeah, that's a problem.
that's a very big problem. Because I think that Pogacar will win the Giro this year.
Giro.
Without accidents or something like that. Yeah, it will be. But Van Aert is admirable. He's very and a beautiful cyclist. Yeah, on the bike. He is so fine to watch. No, I like him very much, yes.
Do you think it's fair that we make comparisons now between Remco and Tadej Pogacar and Eddie Merckx?
Mm.
Do you think that's fair? Do you see, because you obviously remember, you know Eddie Merckx.
Yes.
Is it personal? Yeah. Mm. But do you think it's fair and reasonable to genuinely compare Tadej Pogacar and Eddie Merckx, for example, or Remco Evenepoel and Eddie Merckx?
It's always a difficult question to compare cyclists and other sportsmen. I don't do it. I'm not interested in doing it. They are what they are. It's not so useful to compare.
Yeah, you're right.
I think, yes.
You're right.
And Marx was the greatest, the biggest, when you see his palmarès, what he did win. Unbeatable, I think. Yeah. Maybe also in the future.
When I was writing my book, you sent me a fantastic picture of you and Eddie, maybe from 10 years ago or 15 years ago, maybe longer, I don't know.
Yeah.
Beautiful picture.
Yeah.
How well have you got to know Eddie Merckx over the years?
Well, I met him the first time and we talked at the presentation of my first book with poems about cycling. It was, I think, in 86 or something like that in Ghent. And a lot of riders were invited, Sercu, Merckx, Sergeant, Van den Houten, I remember the big names. If you have Merckx and Sercu, are the two biggest names. Sercu on the piste,
on the track,
and Merckx for everything. Thing, yeah. Yes, and so that was the start of our relation.
Yeah.
But I did met him a few times after that. But not so regular.
Yeah.
No, not. Yeah. But most of the cyclists that I know and that have a poem of me about there were very interested and a little bit how do they call it and grateful that I did write a poem about them. Yes.
Oh, I'm sure they're grateful. Yes, it's a fantastic honour.
Yes.
Well, maybe we should read the poem about Théophile. Shall we do that?
Yes.
In the back of the book, well, have you got it there or? Yeah.
Here is the English translations.
It's both. There's both.
Both.
There's both.
Yes.
In the back. So I'm just going to open my. This is weird. Opening my own book.
Yeah.
There it is. There we have it.
Ah yes. I have to.
You have to get your glasses.
My glasses.
Do you know what? I have to get my glasses also.
I dedicated the poem about Théophile Beekman that you discovered to you, Ned. And now I will read it in my language, Dutch, Flemish.
If you read one verse,
then you will
and
read,
then I'll read the translation.
All
Let's
right.
do it like that.
Okay. Yeah. It's aflossing.
Yeah.
Het dorp Meerbeke, waar ooit de grootste Merckx voor een tweede keer de Ronde van Vlaanderen won, is zijn beste renner ooit vergeten. Van hem en zijn roem is niets meer overgebleven. Alleen een metalen letternaam op het graf van zijn jong weduwe geworden Irene.
The little town of Meerbeke, where once the greatest Merckx won the Tour of Flanders for the second time, has forgotten its greatest rider. Of him and his fame, nothing more remains, save for his name in metal letters on the grave of his young widow Irene.
Of hoe deze kampioen achter de duistere gordijnen van de ongenadige tijd is verdwenen. Hij, die driemaal net buiten het magische Tour de France podium viel en in diezelfde Tour twee ritten won, zich ook bijna kroonde met de eeuwige kasseien van Hellestad-Roubaix.
Has forgotten how this champion behind the dark curtains of merciless time is gone. He who thrice fell just short of the magical Tour de France podium, but won two stages of the very same race and nearly crowned himself with the eternal cobblestones of the city of hell, Roubaix.
Zijn atletische Parnassus bereikte hij op 6 juli 1926 in een Pyreneeënrit die de renners meedogenloos met modder, ijzige kou en stortregens verlamde. Een zwarte katafalk waarop pijn en labeur heersten. Lucien Buysse won in Luchon. Beekman werd vierde. Op deze dag, die als het top-inferno van het wielrennen wordt beschouwd. Meer dan 17 uur onmenselijk zwoegen. De grote Ottavio Bottecchia weende toen, als een kind.
His Mount Parnassus came on the 6th of July 1926 on a race through the Pyrenees which ceaselessly froze riders with mud, icy cold and torrential rain. A black catafalque on which pain and labour reigned. Lucien Buysse won in Luchon. Beekman was fourth.
On this day, they say, it was the ultimate cycling hell. The 17 hours of inhuman toil left the great Ottavio Bottecchia weeping like a child.
Théophile, rust nu. Door mijn schuldige pen in eer hersteld. Ik zie zijn gestileerde en bruin gebrande benen glanzen. Zijn karakterkop, getooid met een aureool van bloemen.
Théophile now rests in peace, honored by my guilty pen. I can see his sculpted bird brown legs glint, his head, his character adorned with a halo of flowers. Willy Verhegge, 2022.
Thank you, Willy.
Thank you, Ned.
Et les oiseaux assassinés. Bien sûr, nos cœurs perdent leurs ailes.
Well, I'm back at Ninov Station and I'm just about on time to get my connection onto Brussels and then home on the Eurostar. And the snow is now really thick and I cannot believe that Willy drove from Polari to Ninov. Picked me up, took me back, fed me, him and his fabulous wife, Arlette, thank you. They served me a plate of spaghetti bolognese and then a slice of cake called ville, I think, which is delicious. Anyway, and then it just carried on snowing the whole time. And then he got back in the car and drove in ridiculous conditions, frankly. His car's beginning to slip all over the place, down into Ninov, and he's dropped me at the station, negotiated it all safely, and he's heading back, and I hope he gets back okay, because he's a legend. And just before he dropped me off, I said, listen, I'm so grateful to you. And he just slapped me on the leg and said, and I to you. And then he said, you are a little bit obsessed, a bit like me. I took that as the highest compliment. And so another kind of 48 hours in Belgium comes to an end. In extraordinary conditions. Not everything that I came here to do kind of worked in quite the way that I wanted it to, but I've enjoyed it nonetheless. And thank you for listening. And I meant to say, we'll be back. David and I, at least, and maybe Pete, will be back for the tour of Flanders. And watch this space, because very soon, in the next few days, we're going to be releasing details of how you can join us for the tour of Flanders. So follow us on Twitter, and that information will be released very soon. Anyway, from Belgium with love. Catch you soon. Bye. Pleurer
catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.